This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with CRB Ely. Live on Cliff Central.
Molweni nonke makhaya nasemisebenzini, igama lam nguLuvozola Siphambo, ndingumsasazi wenu namhlanje kule nkqubo emnandi ekuthiwa yi-Threaded Exchange. Now, isihlobo sam uSiya Bailey sindimemile ukuba ndisasaze naye kwaye isivakashi sethu nguLoyiso Madinga. Loyiso bhuti wam, wamkelekile kwi-Threaded Exchange.
That was a lot.
Someone's auditioning for show winning.
You cannot have a host who's closer, a guest co-host who's closer, and a flipping guest who's closer.
That was a lot. I don't know what was happening.
I feel like you wrote that last night.
Tell us, come close to the mic. Tell us what was going on.
Intro.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, am I on now?
Yeah,
Lubo just gave us a bum ass intro in Xhosa.
How was that?
I mean, you've got Eastern Cape in the house.
Guys, I just want to put it discretion. I don't know who this person is. I walked into the studio, was just sitting here.
And I was just ready to go for it.
She's Xhosa, and you know you can't mess with Xhosa women.
So I had to tell her to
leave, and then she says, I'm doing the intro. So I'm just letting you know.
You've got nothing to do with this.
I'm in Trinidad today. Hi, Luvo.
Hello, Sia.
How are you?
I'm very good. I'm excited to be here.
I'm good.
How are you? So I'm so nervous. Like, I've got Loyiso here. I've got you here. Steve. Like, I'm super excited.
You're super excited. Yeah. Where are you? Who are you? Like, what are you doing here? What are you doing on my show?
Let's see. Well, getting comfortable. Yeah, I've been ready for this
relax
moment.
What do you chillax?
No, guys. So I am an MC, I'm a radio presenter, I'm a voiceover artist, and I'm also a strategist in the advertising space. So that's pretty much who I am. But on my personal life, I'm just a good friend and a family member and a sister and all that other corny stuff.
Yeah. So you're also the president. There's so many things.
I could actually run this country.
Because I'm going to ask Loyiso Madinga what he does. Loyiso will be like, I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Full CV. She gave you the full CV.
Do you want my CV right now?
Guys, as you know, every week we bring in a new co-host, and today I've got Uluvo. I've also got my producer on the line for the first time on the show.
Hi, Sia. How are you?
I'm good. Mind you, guys, I've never met my producer. We only chat on email.
Yeah, literally.
Lies.
This is how millennials work. You know, Sipe has been doing these shows with me, I think, for the last 3-4 months now, and this is the first time she's ever been to Cliff Central. So, of course, we've got Loyiso as well. You know, I hate this whole thing about having guests, because when you say you have a guest on the show, I think it makes the guest feel like there's this huge expectation to like be a guest.
Yeah.
Okay, what happens? You're supposed to be.
Like you're thinking, you arrive and you think, okay, there's questions.
There's questions, expectations.
Like, how do I sit? What kind of questions this guy is going to ask?
Okay, so we just all here together right
Dude,
now.
Dude, I'm fucking
We're nice. Just like, yeah, okay. all doing this. The thing.
Right, let's just do this then.
Yeah, I want to even say, like, I don't even call you a guest. Like, I feel like this is home. This is
I know. Like, I feel
yes.
like. Don't you guys, just feel like we're like in Butterworth? Somewhere,
Jacob Zuma's gone to Gansa.
No.
People have a platform.
What's wrong with Butterworth?
Out of all the towns,
that's where I was born. Okay, that is where B Town. Hey, sorry.
Okay,
I feel like you're the only one who calls it B Town.
Need
direction.
So, we're gonna start off the show, as you know, like my infamous game that I always play on the show. And the game is finish the sentence.
Oh, yeah.
And today I'm choosing Loyiso to finish the sentence. Sipe, myself, and Luva are going to make you finish sentences. And you can't divert a question. Mm-hmm. You can't lie. Like, if I'm asking you who you're sleeping with, you can't be like this model.
But wait,
like,
guys.
Name and shame. We don't hide anything.
You don't want an unedited comic.
No, we want the unedited comic.
Not very wild. This also, about one piece of unus group.
Yeah, this is a space.
This is a therapy session. Kulega put relax.
It's a safe space.
Does this only apply to lawyers, or can I also vent about some stuff?
Let me think about that.
All right.
Guys, Uluva will just take the whole show.
Sorry.
Ibengu, the threaded Luvo exchange
with Luvo spam.
So let's try to remain
calm. Okay.
Okay. Let's I'm gonna start with the first question.
Yeah.
When I wake up in the morning, I wake up next to
my girlfriend.
Luvo,
my fabulous girlfriend's name is.
No man. Shush.
That was an evil one.
It was.
Yeah, Shalane.
Okay.
Super.
When you can't sleep at night, let's say you wake up at midnight, you open the fridge, what are you eating?
I don't wake up at night. I'm a solid sleeper.
Really?
Every time.
Really?
Every
so you time. Don't get insomnia?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
What does it feel to live like that? Like, I can't sleep at night. I think I have... I'll say stuff on the bubble.
Yeah,
on air. Sissy.
I'm so sorry.
I told you this is better work.
It's out, guys.
It's out. That was a lot, man. I'm like, yo, what is that? And I keep looking at Lois, and I'm like,
guys, you know, it's my first time in radio, you know.
Sorry, mom. Okay.
Yeah, super neighbors.
Okay.
Super neighbors. Super neighbors. So you answered very well, dude. You answered
was
very
that
well.
It?
Was it what, just one round?
You want to do another round?
Yes.
We can do another round. Let's do another round.
Okay, I'll start. Okay, sorry.
You open the atlas. Let's say you're looking at however many countries are in the world. Mm. Which country would you pick to go travel in?
Asia.
Mm.
Asia's anyway.
Which country?
Yeah, which country?
Oh, sorry, Japan.
That's a continent.
Sorry.
I would just like to go Africa.
I want to go to Japan next.
Oh, nice. Japan.
Yeah, that's I want to hit Japan next.
Japan is wild as fuck.
Mm. Yeah, it just seems like it's a... No matter what happens, you'll have a full experience.
They sell used underwear in vending machines so guys could smell them. Did you know that?
Yeah, but no, like, man, that's what happens. Shit, like, yeah, they're very sexually, like...
Liberated.
Creepy.
No,
no.
See, what happened was women back in the days weren't expected to work.
Okay.
Right? And then when they finally could, that's what they did. And they focused on their careers. Women in Japan are very
focused.
Yeah, very focused. They don't have time for relationships.
Oh,
leaving the men very frustrated.
Oh,
I'm not
no.
even, this is not wow. even like a criticism. You can watch Dockies. You can read articles on this.
Oh, hence why they're replacing women with like robots and stuff.
Yeah, bruh. The sexual industry there is huge.
Oh. So
like
those
women
bots.
Don't even go on real dates. They go on these little bars where you have a somebody who's professional. His profession is to dine you for the evening, so he acts like your this boyfriend for the night because she doesn't have time for like a full time boyfriend.
Oh,
so she goes to this restaurant. He sits. He talks to her. Treats her like you know your
like
girlfriend,
a
like a lady.
Oh,
and then when she's done, she goes home
dinner
back to work.
Bae.
Yeah, dinner with Bae kind of vibe.
Yeah, it's Lake Queens. If that could happen, no, like, SA would be in trouble.
I'd be
imagine.
Over. It wouldn't stop Tina, yeah, but we don't know where to stop Tina. We want to. Yeah. We want to take it there.
Have you been to Japan?
No, not yet.
Okay. Really?
Not yet.
You speak like you've. I've like, I mean,
yeah, but it feels like it feels like a destination for someone in your position.
Like I've been in Asia, and Japan is definitely something I want to do.
Yeah,
but I couldn't do it last year because I got double booked in New York, so I had to stay.
My problem. Like,
I
got
double booked.
As he started explaining, I was like, he's about to show us with our last bonds. He's actually gonna.
This is what happens when you bring. Ask your question.
Okay, my question is, finish this one off. I absolutely die for
nothing.
Champagne?
No.
No. Okay.
There's nothing.
He dies for his girlfriend.
There's very little.
That was very awkward.
I just,
that was so flipping like, awkward. Like I had it.
There was a pause and then he's like nothing.
Nothing. And he looked at me. He's like, what are you asking me?
Like, that was not even a consideration.
He literally
didn't say I would.
There's nothing I love that much.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hectic.
Okay.
Except comedy. I love.
You love comedy.
Yeah, I love comedy.
You can do comedy in heaven.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
Sorry. I wanted to give you something. I used to really love chocolate. But then.
But not die for it.
I
mean, by dying, guys, I'm being dramatic.
You mean like die. For
like, die. Like, I mean, die for I God. Die like for. Like, no, not champagne.
Nikka.
Champagne, I think.
My life is very Asian, yes?
Huh? What?
Nikka.
What is
a Japanese whiskey.
Oh yes, it's really good.
It's really good,
yes,
man.
I think and it comes in like this nice
that
bottle.
Little. Oh, the packaging is just.
Yeah, I've had that.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh yeah, it's really good. It's really good. Nika. Let me ask my question.
Nika, please.
Yes.
The most boring person I have ever met is...
I win.
How intense.
This is so lit.
Yo, but you forget boring people. Let me give you that.
That is true.
You do forget boring people.
Because they're boring.
This is the way... I forget people if I don't have an emotional attachment to how we met. Like, if you didn't make me laugh, we didn't have a good conversation. Or if we just met and was polite, was good, I will immediately forget
so
you.
So when someone meets you, they might just spill water on you because you'll never forget.
Yeah, that's what it takes.
So guys, when you see Lois something on the street, be like, well done for the Daily Show and spray him. Slap him.
That'll leave an impression. Yeah. Definitely.
That's going to be nice because it allows him to elevate because now he's going to have bodyguards.
I think arrogance is boring.
It is
very
boring.
Every arrogant person I've ever met.
Also, you miss out on meeting amazing people.
That's true.
Like, I've been reading The Alchemist. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Meeting people is so great.
Yeah.
But guys, let's not carry away with the show. We're here for, of course, the main man of the hour, Lois Matinga. Before we get into the crux of this interview, I'm going to play like a track just to ease him into it. Can drink some water, can go pee, nyana, consider if this is still a good idea.
No, this is great.
Cliff Central to maybe think, also it's a good idea to have me have a show. I can't believe they've allowed me to do this show for like over a year. Like, it's crazy.
How long have you been doing this? Sorry.
Over a year. I think I have like, I don't know how many episodes I have, but I have quite a lot.
Yeah, over 50. I'm sure.
Slay us here.
When he's not in New York.
I'm going to slay all of y'all. But guys, yeah, please, WhatsApp us.
basically.
Order in my house. WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090 and tell us anything that you want to tell us. Speak to Lois, tell us if we're talking cack and you don't like us. Send us all the hate. If
no
you
bad
want to
send vibes, us please.
Send us, I love bad vibes.
I hate
vibes. But we'll check you guys out with some of this.
Keep it though, I won't be here for it.
Yes, Lord. Hail Mary's in the sky. We're live on the Thread Exchange. It's Siyabonga Beile. I'm here with Lois Matinga, our special guest for the hour. I've got my, like, I don't know what to call Sipe. She's like superwoman in my life.
So sweet.
For these things,
she's
to, like,
the Deepak to your Oprah.
For these things to happen, what? She's behind the scenes. So I could say for the show, she's my producer.
Yes.
But in Thread, man, she's everything else. So yeah,
thanks for that. And that's really on the sweet.
Show. I've got Uluvo over here as well. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I feel like you were leaving me out there.
No, I wasn't.
Your turn was coming.
My calls for the day.
He literally started with.
What's Pambo, ne? Yeah, Luvo's Pambo, who's on the show with me co-hosting today. Let's introduce our guest and let's get into the crux of this show. And of course, Loiso, what the Thread Exchange is about, it's a platform that is cultured and brave, and it's about young people telling their stories so that other young people can learn. I always believe that as black people, we need to teach each other the steps, you know. So there's young comedians out there who are listening, who are fans of your work, and they want to give up. They're like, oh fuck man, I can't make it, I'm too broke, I'm too that, I'm too this.
Yeah, they must
and you know, to hear your story might change their lives and keep them going, you know.
They should probably
Sipe, take it away. Who is Loiso Matinga?
Well, I don't want to get into a long bio, but Loiso Matinga is a comedian. He's an MC. I met him at a gig, actually, that you were doing. And then soon after, I realized, never mind the fact that you were such a funny guy, we got into a really, like, nice conversation about just your journey, and I think I was just really inspired by it. We also spoke about, you know, the continent and how much talent there is, and I just thought you would be an amazing guest to have on the show because I feel like you and Sia, you guys kind of share the same ideologies. So
same WhatsApp group. Well, thank you, Sipe, for organizing this. This is great. Also, not to fail to mention, I mean, dude, I'm gonna brag about you. He's got a gig on The Daily Show.
Yes.
Trevor had to choose one guy. They chose him.
Yo.
One man.
Like, just understand the level of how we're talking here. Loiso, welcome to the show, my dude.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you. Yeah. It's good to see your faces again.
It's good to see you.
Meet you for the first time. So it's,
this is
dope.
This is
to
dope.
To meet your Insta idols.
Stop. Insta idols. Woo. Listen, man. You and comedy.
Yeah.
What is it about you and comedy? Why comedy? Why do you love comedy? Like, we can get jokes as bad. Like, you're living off jokes. Like, I can't imagine.
It's a crazy life. Now and then we me and my comedian friends were just like, this is actually just ridiculous. this can't count.
Yeah.
This really can't count. But there is a deep love that we have for this game. And I don't question it. I don't go, why am I in this? Why do I? I just go, I just know it's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like just it's a knowing. And so now to know that one is already like a big thing. Most people never even think they're allowed to find their thing. They think they have to fit into a box and get into society and just do the thing.
Sure.
And then, so that was already like a big thing for me. And then as soon as I started doing it and opportunities came, I realized I have to do this properly.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go in and do it in such a way that the next person doesn't doubt themselves for doing this,
absolutely,
chasing the same dream.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because then, I'm like, the industry was small when we came into it ourselves. Luckily, I came in just before, you know, Trevor blew up. So he made the short game look like, duh, you want to blow up an essay? Okay, duh, but can you dream bigger?
Yeah.
So I was lucky to come in then. I'm surprised there were guys before us who, you know, when the industry was barely an industry and they built it, you know.
Yeah, about David Gow.
About David Gow and them. I don't know how they did it, bro.
I don't know either.
And then let me ask you something. This is a weird but funny question. You can answer in the context. You look like a very young guy who's very wise.
Yeah.
So how old are you?
Yes, Dad. Yeah.
Like, you look like a really young guy who's really wise for his age.
I cut my hair and I look 10 years younger.
Oh, yes, that's what's different.
I thought you were 19 when I saw the pictures with the hair, actually.
With the hair?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Like, the Einstein
bread. So now I look 9.
Oh, wow. So now you look
even younger.
Borderline 5. Borderline 5.
It doesn't help that my beard looks like a 12-year-old's beard. Yeah. That doesn't help.
So
I'm 31.
You're lying.
Sure. Yeah, I'm 31.
Imagine
that. Yeah, just moisturize.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Hectic.
Drink your water,
drink
everyone.
Your water.
Drink your water. Mind your business.
Cocoa butter.
Something needs to change. Like, I look older than him.
Nah,
and I'm 24. Nah, something is wrong.
You're 24.
He lies about
you.
That.
See,
right?
Yeah, dude. You see, he's
I'm shocked out of achievement that you're 24.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm shocked by. I'm like,
but I think
at 24, I think I was just on my way out of advertising.
Hectic.
Yeah.
Really?
25 is when I
decided.
Just 25.
To pursue comedy full time.
Yeah. No, comedy full time was 27.
Okay.
25, I left full time work and I was freelancing
for like 4 or 5 years.
I've been this is year 6 and coming to the end of year 6. Yeah.
And so quickly the things that you've done. Jeez.
Well, that's what happens when you align your chakras and your kabbalas.
But
and your feng shui.
Let's talk about
when my feng shui.
31 years ago.
Yeah.
Where were you born? What was growing up like for you?
I was born in Durban.
Okay.
Home was always in Mount Fletcher in the Eastern Cape. But we went to school in Durban. You know how our parents' generation was like, they fought for education and stuff. So they try to get us in the best schools. And Mount Fletcher does not have the best, you know. So they try. So living between Durban and Mount Fletcher was cool, you know. Back in the days when you were one of 2-3 black people in the class, that kind of molds you. I think that's some trauma that even I'm working through to this day.
But can I ask you something? I think for me, because I've been in a similar space as well, is that through primary school it didn't really bother me much, but something happened to me when I became a teenager. I don't know if it was the woke switch, but all of a sudden I started rebelling against the school, being like, actually, fuck this with cutting my hair. Why are the other kids not cutting their hair? Why is that teacher like singling me out? Why are there not enough black people here? Why?
I was woke at like 6, 7. Because we weren't, you know, our parents could just afford to get us in there, you know. And I went to Mars Brothers. So it's like Richie kids, right? So we could just afford to get into that.
Guys,
so
you weren't,
all that.
Yeah.
So it was like you were aware that you were different. Because they were living their rich lives.
You were just
in the school.
They take out their Woolworths food. When
there's a big difference. No, we always had homemade food. We always had homemade bread. at school. Everyone asked about their cheese sandwiches, and you're like when today is when ramen polo. Yeah.
First time I saw cheese, I was like, what is that? Oh my God.
I had a Greek friend who used to swap lunch with me because he thought this homemade thing was like artisanal and shit. And yeah. I was like, yeah, you bring me those cucumber sandwiches. Give me that shit.
Were you fun in high school? Like, what do you like in high school? Question. As a friend, how would
I think
you
in the beginning,
yourself?
Yeah, I used funny as a. I've always enjoyed jokes. I've always found the most fascinating things in the world.
Yeah.
But then you you learn, because kids are always trying to figure out how to fit in, and then humor was my way to fit in, or at least survive. You know, just to go, I'm gonna laugh my way through the thing. Yeah.
So it's how cool and get jokes.
Yeah.
So dope.
Hectic. that was just like the way to. So I was always, but then I was also like, I almost got expelled because I think I was always like,
were you the class clown?
Not intentionally. It was just like I wasn't trying. Like by high school, I wasn't trying to make everybody laugh.
Yeah.
By high school, it was just like I just want to make my friend next to me laugh. It's just like now we're making a noise, and it's just like it wasn't about these other people in the first place. Yeah.
And then how does that then move to? You in high school?
Yeah.
What do you study at varsity? What is the journey? I want to understand how do you move from that space of high school and into now being...
Okay, so what you must understand is if there was a comedy industry in this country, I might have said I wanted to be a comedian in high school.
Oh.
But there wasn't. It was just something... It was just something where you like, that looks so dope, I wish I could do it.
Yeah.
But it's... Americans do it.
As not mad as
I feel you.
Yeah, I know. Come on, love. So I always loved creativity, and I just wanted to find an industry that would allow me to have a job and be creative. So that's why I chose advertising.
Mm.
I think I found copywriting like in standard 9 or something, and it was like a copywriter writes the copy, the words, and then a commercial, and then his partner, an art director, makes the pictures come. I was like,
nice.
I suck at pictures, but I have great ideas.
Yeah.
That means someone will make my ideas look pretty. What?
Yes.
And I was decided. I was just like, I'm going to go into advertising. My father wasn't happy about that.
Awesome.
But I did. AAA, came to Joburg, studied, got into internship at Jupiter Drawing Room.
Mm.
Then a company called Metropolitan Republic was just starting out.
Is that why they shut down? Because you left. They shut
down. That's exactly why they shut down.
Yeah. They had billions of assets.
They had billions of assets that I won for them.
He left with his life.
Let this be a lesson.
Don't leave Loiso Matinga, guys.
Guys,
don't let him leave you.
Your doors are going to shut.
I leave with more than myself.
You leave with your life.
He leaves with his life.
I'm an elite. Is that Loiso?
Oh, Wamba with your soul. So be careful, guys. So Daily Show, don't allow him to leave. Don't allow him to leave.
In fact, my main co-host, no Trevor, but
don't allow him to leave Daily Show, please, man.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, and then so Jupiter Drawing Room, you intern there.
Intern there. A new company starts from Jupiter Drawing Room called Metropolitan Republic. I go there. It was rock and roll. It was probably the most rock and roll part of my
career.
Entire career. Okay. Yeah, we were starting out, we're small, we were hungry, we were young. It was like a young agency.
Sure.
And we just
rocked. Were you doing wild shit?
Yeah,
were you partying hectically?
Yeah, dog.
Doing a bit of weed here and there.
Oh, weed was like
I don't even
weed was starters.
What was the wildest thing you ever did?
Let's go back to the questions game.
Weed was starters, yo. But it was rock and roll, but I always knew it wasn't the thing I wanted to do. From day one, I was like, oh, this isn't actually what I want to do. It always ate at me, slowly but surely.
People in advertising are hectic.
Yeah.
Hectic.
Intense people.
Those people run different.
Yeah, I've heard stories.
No, they're all true. So I quit my job in 2009.
Nice.
And things were going well, but I was just like, this is whack, man.
I'm
job.
In grade 9 at this time.
Yeah.
Don't know what that job is.
Oh, yeah. 2009.
I was in grade 9.
Oh, no, that man. Hey. Okay.
I'm going to cut off your mic.
I quit my job when traveling in Southeast Asia.
No, but wait. Like you're black, and I'm just trying to figure out. Where did you get the money for this?
Like, besides the money, you could have worked for the money, but how do you tell your rent? But actually, I'm quitting my job,
and I'm just going to go to Asia. Thing.
It's like, how do you...
I don't know.
Because it sounds like your dad is a big influence in your life.
Yeah.
So how do you tell your past? But actually... I disappointed you and I did advertising. You accepted that, but now, fuck that. I'm going to travel.
don't know, actually.
You just did it.
You know what? It was literally...
You're impulsive. You seem like...
I'm not impulsive. I just know when I know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just like...
Yeah.
The truth hits you. You be thinking about something and then the truth hits you. And it was literally, I got home one day.
And it will nudge at you.
And I was living in this dope-ass apartment in Craig Hall Park.
Damn.
And I'm like, career's going well. I'm like, I don't care about any of this.
Yeah,
so I literally just like, I need to quit tomorrow.
Sure.
So I quit the next day. And in the time, in the month between
your
quitting and actually my last day, people could ask me, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I was like,
that's always
I kept saying writing or travel, writing or travel.
Yeah.
And it became travel. And then travel became... Thailand became India, and then I was like,
you were following your heart.
This is so amazing.
Like, and then
some eat, pray, love type.
So like you were Julia Roberts.
Eat, pray, love.
Did you like make your own food in like a dingy apartment in Italy?
What are you talking about?
Sorry. I digress.
India.
Well, we were talking. Okay, sorry.
So I literally that was a trip. The trip was book a ticket. This is how unprepared I am in life.
Yeah.
I booked a ticket to Bangkok.
Okay.
And I booked a return ticket from Mumbai 3 months later to the day.
Sure.
And I prepared for nothing else.
My God, wait, what? My biggest fear in life as a black person is disappearing in some country.
Banged up abroad. Have you ever
won a ticket for Bangkok? Then you book for Mumbai 3 months. Guys, even if I had like a million, I wouldn't know if it would last me. That's how paranoid I am. I'd be like, oh my God, like, what if in a month I'm stranded somewhere and I get and people ask me like?
I guess I always wanted that kind of adventure.
That's so beautiful. Wow.
Like I always wanted it. So I was just like. And you know what? It just seemed easy in my head. I looked at the map. I was like, Thailand, India.
Mm.
And I thought there'd be a boat in between. I couldn't find boats that go in between. So I was like, okay, then I'll go by land.
Oh,
and I thought, okay, cool. I'll go Cambodia, Vietnam, China, Nepal into India. That was like, in my head, I'm like, that makes sense. There are trains, there are buses.
Mm.
Yeah.
Were you a beggar at a train station at some point?
No, but I did. When I got to India, day two, I got half my money like swindled out of me that I had left.
What do you mean swindled? What happened?
They just... Bruh, some people have just got their game down to a T.
Yeah.
Where you like, I just bought into a package that I didn't even want, but I got this package now.
That's like me and Amrod. Yeah.
What's Amrod now?
It's this other dingy permit scheme, guys. Like, don't do that.
2018.
I was desperate.
I feel like we are Earth Lubos. So, guys, we've got comic relief on the show today.
Sorry.
Literally.
So, okay. Don't be shocked if Lois Dinga talks about his comedic career and she talks about his cricket career. She might say it's Kahi Somdinga. But, you know what I'm saying? And Lois Rabada.
This is my brother. Okay. My bro. He just don't know that.
So you quit your job. You're traveling for three months.
Traveling for 3 months. Mm. I come back. I fall back into advertising.
Yo.
Ugh. Oh.
Ugh. But it's fine. You know what?
Okay, trust you were a freelancer. Process, yo. You were a freelancer.
Yeah, I freelanced for a bit and then I went back to Metropolitan Republic.
Oh, flip. Full time.
Full time.
Sure.
And then, I quit after, I think, a year or so. And I was like, let me try one more agency.
Okay.
I've never been in the agency. Let me try one more. I went there and I was like,
it was the same thing.
Okay, no.
Perfect.
No, it's me. It's not them. It's me.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
And I tried to start I left and I always wanted to start a chocolate company. So I went to Ghana.
Yeah.
To go source cocoa.
Nice.
Right. But then when I came back...
When you say cocoa, I'm thinking the club cocoa. Like, my mind is like...
Wow. So you're same planet as
you. Yeah.
Basically, I think it's rubbing off that side of the table. Why am I the...
So you wanted to be Willy Wonka?
I was going to Willy Wonka this motherfucker. But then I discovered comedy like a month into coming
doing
back.
Chocolates.
How do you discover comedy?
Yeah. Like, Donovan Goliath. You know Don.
Yeah. He was also in advertising.
He was also in advertising.
And he's also been on
the
show.
He was
at
the company I worked at last.
He was an art director.
Yeah. And he had just started himself, so I was dabbling. I was like following him to his gigs that they were running as the Goliaths.
Mm.
And I was into photography at the time. They lost a photographer for their show called A Wednesday, and I was like, I'll take photos. So I take photos, and then I was like, man, I really want to get on that thing. Came back from when I was a kid, and I was like, I really want to do this thing. So he gave me a spot the next month. And that's when I got on, I was like, this is it. I want to do this forever.
That is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So then that's when I was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do.
Do you know what I actually, for me, what I enjoy about this story is because, like, there's not even once, I've seen Jonathan a lot of times, we've chilled, we've worked together, we've been on the interview. He's never once mentioned, oh, by the way, I did this for Luis Matinga, or I've made his career, or whatever. Even when your whole Daily Show thing came out, he wasn't like, oh, yeah, I remember you started.
Yeah.
You know how people are that way?
Yeah, they'll
like,
claim.
Yeah, you like, so I made remember you. Me.
Yeah.
I used to... Yeah. And it's not like, I thought that was quite incredible, actually. And that's something I'm so shocked and so surprised that he
that's
he
a great, yeah, Don,
something so
great
incredible.
Guy. The industry is full of great people. It's just supportive. So we don't claim each other's stuff. It's
that's beautiful.
A win for one person is always a win for everybody because we're building this thing. It's still small. People, exactly. The entire towns of people who've never experienced live stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You know, so... When someone wins, when someone goes, guys, I did a show in Kuruman, they go to the small little theater, we're all like, that's awesome. They walk in and start going, let's take a show to Kuruman.
Do you guys have all like a WhatsApp group? Because each time I talk to like different comedians, it's always like you all connect.
It sounds like a fraternity.
It does
like
sound like
and it sounds really like is. Everybody's chill, there's no beef. Yeah. Everyone's like, yeah.
There's beef.
Oh.
Really?
There's beef, but it's like... It's
like,
whatever, man.
Imagine like, at the end of amongst comedians.
Yeah, it's whack.
Like that joke was boring.
Yeah.
Imagine Ruslebana as a comedian. Yeah, that guy's joke is whack.
They do that a lot internationally. like I know with Kevin Hart, like the comedians are always like going
he's
at
not
him.
That
yeah,
it's quite hectic.
Yeah, it's whack. There's no need for it because at the end of the day, you're on the stage on your own. It's not like it's not a team sport.
Mm. Yeah.
We're just in it because we love the industry and what we love.
Yeah,
is the craft of it, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not.
Have you always been a daring person? It seems like when I listen to you, in everything you've done in your life, you just do it because like you know. Like, how do you know that you know? Like, do you believe in God? Is God being the one saying your WhatsApp? Is it a feeling inside your heart where like it seems like you never think and plan? You're just like, I want to do this, I do it. Like, how do you go from being a photographer to being a comedian? It's like. David's shooting right now. It's like next month David is hosting the show.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Davey, like, man.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, Davey, man.
I don't watch soccer and I'm like, I'm going to go play for Sundowns. Like, you basically did almost an impossible, it's a genius thing to do. The fact that you can move from advertising, travel the world, go back into advertising, then you're like a photographer because they lost, and then literally a month later you have your own slot. Like, that's hectic jumps.
That's beautiful, actually.
Yeah, I never looked at it that way. I don't think it was that way in my life. It was just the next logical thing. I'll attribute one thing to my father taught us a hard work ethic.
Mm.
Right. So I've never worked a day in my life harder than my dad has worked us.
Mm.
All right. So everything just seems a little... So even on my hardest work day, I'm just like, yeah, but my dad worked... like, it doesn't seem as that hard. And especially when you do what you love to do, then it doesn't seem that hard. The cliche is true. Mm. But also at the same time, there's that thing of... And that's what our phones take away from us. We don't have quiet time anymore.
Yeah.
Right. We don't have time with ourselves anymore.
Mm.
So there was a thing, a normal response to someone who says Lalin or whatever, a small town or whatever, when they ask you, hey, when's I'm done? And is my man. Which is people don't listen to themselves anymore.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
And I think I grew up in such a slow paced life that it was normal just sit and think and dream and imagine and, you know.
It was natural. And now you realize now that you're older, oh my God, I'm connected to my spirit because of
exactly.
Those.
So when
like you're meditating.
I have a feeling, it's not just a feeling. I go, that's what I'm supposed to do. And then you just do that.
Mm.
I think also I love a book that really changed my life.
Yeah.
Was Losing My Virginity. Richard Branson's book.
Yes, I've got it. Right? Natalie gave me that book. Great. The first few pages are boring, but I mean, oh my, I'm gonna read it.
Read that book.
Sorry. You know, like Queen anything, from Generations. She's like Queen.
No. Like I was like,
she just had a revelation.
I was like, I've got this book on top of my flipping side table, and it bores me.
Do you know what it is? It's not about. It's not about. And this is the thing, people, and I was having this conversation with a comic yesterday.
Yeah.
We look at other people doing something, and go, I want to do that. It's not about. Do that. It's about what is the learning from what they do, right?
Look at the framework. Look
what's
at the
framework? Yes.
Yeah.
Look at the similar
and what
journey,
I saw from his book was he always did what he wanted to do.
Oh, snap.
Like, whatever he did was like, he felt like, this is what I want to create and whatever. And I was like, that's what it is. That book was great because he lived his truth.
Mm.
So I was like, so a lot of the time when I make my decisions, I go, if this is an autobiography, how would I want to read this?
Oh, wow.
Ooh. If this is the story of my life, how would I want to read this? I did nothing or I went for this.
Sure.
And I go, I think the interesting interesting chapter is to go, I went for this thing.
Mm. Yeah.
And then that's much easier. I literally think of my book, my life as a book. And I go, this is the better version. I'd hate to have a boring
flipping book.
Do you know those uncles, man? We walk ahead of those uncles. I'm not boy. I always felt sad for them. Yeah, I was like, I never want to be the person who lived on an if.
I used to be. Oh, dude, that's so
broke
awkward.
My heart. So I think that also drives me, is the fear of being
not living less, up to your
less
potential.
Than who I knew I could be.
Yeah.
Like who I, like to, like you knew certain things about your career, see it, right?
Definitely.
But you got so much more from it. But the knowing got you to the point where you could get more from it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So at least go for what you know.
Yeah.
Because if you know, you go, me, I'm going to be dope at this.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you don't know what else comes from that.
Yeah. And but sometimes at least go for I almost think the universe also shapes itself to push you to that point.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
As because uncomfortable
like,
as it
I
is.
I can't live like this anymore. It becomes also that. You're like, if I don't make this move, my livelihood, I'm not going to be happy.
Exactly.
The environment I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I really, it's like the universe conspires to just...
That's exactly what it feels like. Yeah. It's like the universe gives you everything with two hands, two or four hands. Yeah. And most of us only take with, two little fingers.
Because we think playing small is like doing... Nah. Yeah, like it's the craziest thing ever.
This is what I realized recently. Do you know what a really good life is?
Yeah. Mm.
It's constantly experiencing other people's crafts.
Yes.
Mm.
Like
that's
watching,
a really good life.
Please unpack that.
Yeah.
You wake up in the morning. This is a great life.
Yeah.
You wake up in the morning in a bed made by a craftsman. Right?
Yeah.
You wake up refreshed and good.
Mm.
Right? You get out and you go have breakfast downstairs at a deli or something.
Yeah.
Somebody's craft is to make great food.
Oh, that's so profound.
You get in your car, you think I'm just a car person. It's like,
Somebody's
idea. Someone's love and craft went into that.
Yeah.
And that's
it's
my life now.
It's almost like when we talk about black coffee
and we
watch them and you're like, oh my God, God is talking. You can see him. You can see God in a person and be like, wow, that's God. When I watch black coffee play, I'm like, fuck, that's God.
But isn't that the whole purpose of life though, to constantly like, and that's why we're constantly serving each other, because at some point you inspire me, at some point Luis inspires you, and that's how we continue to.
Yeah. I'm not a religious person,
but
I love learning from religions.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Right? I find like there's lots of truth in everything. And one of the verses that I think I really like is when, what is it? Well, it's basically a collection of verses, but like whenever God is being described, things like God giveth and God taketh away. Now, if you consider that we're all God,
God-like,
right?
Yeah.
God-like, I can give, I can take away. I can help you experience God in some kind of way, right?
That's
life, is like seeing and feeling God through each other. Because God is love. Yeah, we are love. I can give you love. I can take away love from you.
Sure.
So that's what living like a flipping, honest life. And that's what, for me, inspiration is. I think that's like such an important thing. Inspiration.
Guys, I hope you have your
pens. I'm literally on my notepad right now.
Oh, it's going in. The sermon is in.
Yeah, we're there now.
And this is the last thing. This is important for me because something I realized like in the last year was, inspiration isn't just someone being dope and you recognizing it. When you feel inspired, it's actually you recognizing yourself in someone.
Yes.
It's actually you. Because when someone inspires you, for some reason you want to do something.
I see the light.
Even if you don't know what it is you want
to
do,
it takes the light to see the light.
Yeah.
Sure. I see the light within you because it's within me.
So be aware of any time you feel inspired.
Oh, snap.
Because that's somebody showing you who you are.
Can I just say something, guys? Ulo is angomedini just because he says it's not true. Yeah. Let's say something. I don't think you're religious, but I think you are a spiritual person. Believe in the power of the universe, being connected to yourself. So I'll describe
you. There's
spiritual.
More to this than
you're fishing. You're not accustomed to a religion or following certain rules. You experience the truth of light through your experiences with it. Yeah.
I think for me, the one thing that just like really left me awestruck when I met him was the conversation we had after he did this gig. And it was just so meaningful and purpose driven that I'm like, I feel like you're more than just a comedian and an MC. And I feel like there's something definitely driving you to plant in other people's lives. And I just want to like tap into that just a bit.
It's something I felt through others. So I have to recognize my responsibility in it. Now that I'm in a similar position,
nice
is to go. I grew up, growing up is lightly new, limited in terms of your access to the world, right? So I remember we used to love, my brother used to buy magazines,
okay?
Yeah, also limitation of information,
yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly. So my the magazines was, ooh,
sure,
there's a new GQ he's brought in, there's a new FHM he's brought in, nice. The new Men's Health he's brought in. And what I started realizing is there weren't enough people that looked like me doing dope shit. Right?
Sure.
And so when you are... Yeah.
Right? They're high-fiving
literally
each other.
Literally, they're high-fiving.
Right? But like, for real, you like you start to notice, like, is only white people who are dope?
Yeah.
Let me put it, but you're like, I'm cooler than these motherfuckers.
Yeah, but also at the same time, yeah.
But
yeah.
Also, like, can there be more of us?
So it's very... It'll be very irresponsible of me not to go... Okay, now that I'm in the position for someone to consume my life in a way, not to then put it out there in a way they can go. So it's more because, like, you see people just posting about the material stuff of their lives.
Yeah.
And no, that's boring.
That is
fun and boring. And it's
boring.
Like you have the opportunity to really show somebody who they can be.
That's so
powerful. That's which is more like it's more than giving someone something material,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Is to give them a light of who they can be. That's like if kids just believed they could be us, just me and you, and we're not even at the top of our game,
right?
Yeah.
Like if they could just aim for us, that's so 10 like times further than where their lives are currently.
And I think
at,
that's,
you know,
what has brought me to this point. I think, but for me, is that likely enough when I grew up, because I was at boarding school, I could watch DSTV.
Yeah.
Mm. And I'd sit in front of the TV and watch different shows. Like, that's why I think pop culture as I know everything, because I'd sit for hours.
Yes.
No,
watch
same,
watch fashion TV for like 8 hours and listen to Karl Lagerfeld being like, yeah, this is why I don't use digital, I draw by hand, because this is a craft, fashion is a craft. Like, and then I would watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, then I'd watch sport, then I'd know about Roger Federer, what he's doing. Like, I'd know so much of this information, but one thing I knew I was drawn to is this level of perfecting, like creating to perfect, not creating for a deadline.
Yes.
And people's lives revolve around deadlines, but that's not creating, that's surviving. No, you're not thriving, you thrive. You thrive when you actually, you're not given a deadline. It's just create.
Yeah.
Sure.
And when you're done creating, release.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I've learned in my short span of a career, that going forward now is that I don't want to go into the whole social media rush of posting. I want to keep slaying. It's about when I have something to say, I'm going to talk. When I don't, I'm going to enjoy my life.
Yeah.
Sure.
And do other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. And that's what, that's very true, man. And we are just... social.
And you look like someone who has a very big life outside of comedy. Because you've met
sitting in my apartment.
He's lying. This dude looks lit.
We searched and searched for you. Do not come, liar. You've been traveling back.
Yeah, I went to New York like just last week.
Oh yeah, for comedy.
Oh,
real quick, let's talk about Daily Show. Maybe you've told the story 20 times, but I haven't heard it from you. How does that come about, actually? The process?
So I think...
Dude, you're on the fucking Daily Show. Like, let me just say that. Like, and I remember watching your first insert.
Can you just say hi to Trey
at the ANC, at the ANC conference, I'm like, this guy is fantastic. Fuck. I'm so excited. I'm
glad you enjoyed that.
I literally was upset. I'm like, South African politics are now in America, and this black guy is telling them, like, oh my goodness, I was like so fucking chuffed. I've never been that chuffed in my life.
It's a great opportunity, man. Big ups to Trevor.
I felt that when I was like, you see that thing of seeing the light in someone?
Yeah.
I was like, I can do that in
you
fashion.
You see what you're capable of.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's recognizing yourself and other people. I promise you. That's what I was like, that's... I wish I could just tell people, just like, every time you feel inspired, just take that moment and go, why am I inspired? No. Oh, I'm supposed to be that dope.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. I think I watched that episode like three times when Trevor's like, let's go to Sabi. I was like, fuck, that's nuts. Like,
yeah, that was weird to hear.
Americans are watching it. Presidents watch that show. Yeah. Like, around the, everybody's watching you, like, telling them this is what happens.
It's a great opportunity.
Country.
It really is. Yeah, what's great about it is that it's just a testament to the industry.
Yeah.
Because you go, they could have piloted. This is the first time they go outside of America. The show's like 20-something years old.
Yeah.
So for them to go, yeah, we'll find a person in South Africa.
Sure.
That's one hell of a statement. For Trevor to go, we'll find someone in South Africa.
Shout out to Trevor for being the plug.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And shout out to the industry for being...
For opening up.
That level of... You know what I mean? They could have gone to England.
Yeah.
It would work.
True.
They could have gone to Australia. Mm. It would work.
They could have asked Kevin Hart to do LinkedIn.
Right.
They have the budget. Exactly.
Mm. So big ups to Comedy Central and Trevor for that. And then the auditions happened. The auditions happened, which was dope and scary. And I walked out of my audition feeling confident until I saw another comic book in.
Then you start feeling insecure.
Oh man, this guy's got the job. Oh, this guy's hella funny. This dude is so dope, man.
Yeah.
But that just shows like the depth of comedy that we have here, where you like
And also when it's your time, it's your time.
Yeah.
How did you find out and how did you feel? Like were you shaking? Were you like
honestly, it didn't feel real.
Oh wow.
Like I was just like, I got the call. I was like, oh, go. But I feel like I was performing my happiness. I was like, woo,
I remember that day ministers were like giving shout outs. Everybody was like, this.
Oh, I found out about 6 months before that.
Oh.
Yeah, I found out. Like the auditions happened around March, April. And I found out around that time. And then that was only beginning of January that they announced it.
And then they buried you in NDAs.
Yeah.
So you knew, you're sitting down, Sam.
I knew. The only person who knew was my girlfriend, and I think
your dad,
my sibling. No, my parents. He's my dad, right? I told my dad. I told my dad in December because I knew now it's gonna happen for sure.
Okay.
I tell my parents, and they just looked at me like, "Oh, must be nice." Okay. They didn't care.
They didn't understand.
But
the
day it launched. Oh, and they heard me on Umhlobo. And
then,
my son has lost their mind. My son is a superstar. My son is bigger than Beyonce. That's amazing, man. And like, was Trevor involved throughout the process? And what is it like? What is it like now that you've been doing that? I mean, it's been a couple of months now, and you're doing it. And what has it been like? Like, do you travel there? How is the working relationship?
So
with
we
them?
Create the stuff here.
Okay. Based on which, what kind of content?
Based on stuff we want to do, we'll put together ideas of like, oh, let's cover this or let's cover that. This is the angle. Okay. We'll send it to the team overseas and go, yeah, pursue that. That sounds interesting. Sounds like it would be a good. Then we start making it this side. I mean, we got such freedom. They give us such freedom to create this side, and they just give us support.
Okay.
Like, whatever, like if we need like an eye on the work, they'll give us and they'll send back notes, and you can see it's like they put a team together to give us. You know, feedback. It's not just one guy. They like, you talk to the South Africans.
We don't
care what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's been a really great team effort from this side with Comedy Central Africa and from the Daily Show team that side, which is dope because I think it would be very easy to just leave us to our own devices and see what happens. But what's dope is, look, if you look at the show, if you look at the show before Trevor and now, there's obviously a lot of shifting. They're changing the show.
A huge shift.
So we're
huge
all figuring
shift.
Out what is the show
moving,
supposed
yeah.
to be. So it makes a hard job harder, but it's also exciting to go, how would I want to define my time here?
Yeah.
And I think what's important for me is also to go, let's make this a success. Let's make this international correspondency a success so that it becomes another thing the next generation of comics can do. Like you can aspire now to be,
because now your Jimmy Fallons will start doing
things
in Africa. There's so many shows in America
for sure. You see now, so that's like that's the important thing for me is like we I have to make this a thing. It can't be something they tried and was like, oh, okay, that was weird.
Yeah.
You know, so if I make this a thing, it's another thing that the industry has. Yeah. And now we're, you know, there are more doors and more spaces for people.
I just want to know, like, Oprah, who before he passed away, like, he always used to say that he wants to have like a South African version of SNL.
Dog.
Would you do that?
What do you mean?
Imagine, like, no. How cool would
I want
that
you
be?
To pause right now.
Okay, fine.
Right. Kagiso Dlidiga says, guys, I want to do a sketch comedy show.
Uh-huh.
Let's brainstorm.
Okay.
Sit, we brainstorm.
Isn't that Pierre Monati?
Pierre Monati. I was about to say Pierre Monati.
So we brainstorm the idea, and he's like, okay, cool. So Brad Hugh will also, he wants to be involved. He's going to be the band. He's like, okay, whatever. Okay. Anyway, we brainstorm. Idea gets sold to SABC. Day one, writing room.
Okay.
Who walks in?
Brad Hugh.
Right?
Yeah.
And his best friend that he was with in exile.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, this whole time we're writing every day and I'm just like, why is Brahu here with us bums? This guy's like an international legend.
Dude. Yeah.
So I don't ask any questions.
Yeah,
you know.
Of course.
I find out after his passing that was his dream, was to create an African SNL.
How flipping awesome would that be? Dog,
I was like, I was part of his dream.
Right. Mm.
That he had in exile.
So is this gonna happen?
Kagiso. No, I've forgotten the name of the show.
PMS show.
No, Piemonati. Piemonati is from way back in the
Bantu
day.
The Bantu Hour.
Oh, yes.
That was his dream, to create a sketch comedy show.
Yeah.
For the country.
That's amazing.
And I was just like, that is insane.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because the whole time
I'm running out of time.
Oh, snap.
No way. I'm not leaving.
Yeah. Can I ask
show?
You something?
Yeah.
What are your dreams and aspirations over the next 5 years?
Oh.
And and where can people find you? What are the exciting things that are coming up? And yeah, promote yourself.
Cool. I'm on all social medias, Luiso Madinga. Not all, actually. I'm not on Snapchat. I just can't keep
Snapchat
up with the kids.
Work, bro.
I'm working on a new hour that I'm going to be testing out.
It's a new album.
No. That's next year. a new hour that I'm doing at the Grahamstown Festival. I'm taking a show there. So
are you
can
performing next month?
What?
At the Grahamstown Arts Festival.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'll be there all month long with my new show. Nice. If you want to see it in its roughness.
Mm-hmm.
And then just grinding the Daily Show thing. I'm always in clubs working. I'm in Impangeni on the 1st at something hall, Drill Hall or something like that.
And you're in East London on the 26th.
I'm in East London on the 26th.
Yes, the prodigal son.
Yeah, with Scott Poseidon. Get your tickets, your broken
maybe
English.
Maybe in the next couple of months, you'll be on the cover of Threaded Man.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh,
yes.
Guys, I don't know if you've seen my wardrobe.
Don't worry.
Oh, you said that. Okay.
Guys, we have to close the show.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Thank you
so much for coming through, my man. I think you're incredible, and your story is it's an amazing one. I think today was a great show.
Really nice.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Sia.
Shout out to your moms. Who do you want to?
Hi, mom. I love you. I love you, Chris. I love just everyone in the world, and I just want to make everyone proud. What did you think of the show? Yay! Bye.
Sipe, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we have exciting things coming up for the show, and you said you have some good ideas.
Yeah, definitely, guys. Like, listen in. We've got a few exciting guests over the next couple of weeks. So, yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. I'm Siabe Ile, and this is The Threaded Exchange.
This is CliffCentral.com.